Good morning. It's a nasty morning. It's not raining, but it may as well be. Today is October 12th. It is, 7:40 a.m. October 12th, 2016. What we used to call back in the old days Columbus Day. What I still call my birthday. Today I am 64. Yeah. Yesterday I did not get out to walk. By the time I actually got my act together, it was too late to go because we had things to do, chores to do. I had to go to the dentist. Spent an hour there meeting my new dentist. My much beloved Dr. Bland had to retire. And he's found a new young dentist who is taken his place. And first meeting, I have to say, good guy. I like him. I like him a lot. He's been apparently part of group practices around the area and is ready to set up his own practice and is basically coming in to take over for Dr. Bland. So I'm pleased. First meeting, I'm pleased. We'll see how it works out. Had a cleaning, had one cavity. Have to go back in a couple weeks and get that filled. So, it's fall. It's my birthday. 64 years. I was trying to think of what kind of retrospective might I put forth this morning on the occasion of my 64th. And I don't know. Part of it, I think, is because I don't really... I've spent a lot of time looking backwards over the last... How many years is it? I started in March 2011. So, more than 5 years. I spent a lot of time looking backwards, looking back to life in Maine, life on the high seas. I haven't really talked too much about life in Kodiak, which is probably just as well. Birthdays are kind of like milestones. I remember a few of them. From my childhood. The one I remember most was I think it was my 12th birthday when I was we weren't allowed to have birthday cake and presents until I'd finished my homework. And that night I had several hours worth of homework, which I thought I should be excused from, but clearly the rest of the world didn't. So I remember that one, not fondly, not with any great deal of pride. Turned 18 in boot camp, something that nobody remarked on at the time, which is probably just as well, because getting attention in boot camp is sort of like the opposite of your goal. The year I turned 40 was the year I got my bachelor's degree and became vice president of information systems for the first and last time. And the year I was 60, I started growing a beard. I think that was the year. What about 2012? Which corresponds to losing my day job and becoming a full-time author, which is when I started growing a beard. I think. It's interesting that the beard is so much a part of my identity now that I really, when I see old pictures of clean-shaven me, I think, as I have said before, oh man, you look sick. So yesterday I spent a delightful hour and a half or so with my cousin Paul, who was dragging his kids around to see some of the United States. Two of them anyway, the other two were in school, but these two had some school break that they were free, and they were driving down from Wyoming and getting ready to head east, heading back to the other coast out there to, they're hoping to get back to the Atlantic so that they could watch a rocket launch from Wallops Island. We had a very pleasant hour and a half. The local Starbucks. It was quite fun. I enjoyed it. On the off chance that Paul gets a chance to catch up with podcasts, hi Paul. It was an interesting interlude, which I enjoyed greatly. This morning already, I've had a somewhere, somebody on one of my social medias linked to a Mike Rowe piece wherein someone asked him to encourage everyone to vote. And Mike came back with a really interesting response, which was basically, no. And then he said why, which I thought was A, really good, and B, the reason why was really good. Now, there will be people who will say, oh, this is just elitist crap trap, but the reality is, I'm not so sure I could buy that. Because what he did was, he differentiated between a right, and a duty. That it's a right to vote. You don't actually have a duty to vote. You really don't. Rights are there for people who want them. And there's no obligation for anyone to exercise them. And where we seem to get into trouble, and this is not what he said, but Monk Post, where we seem to get into trouble is when some group of people seem to think it's their duty to interfere with the rights of others. Good morning. Okay, a lady with two little dogs is trying to keep them under control. I figured I would stop talking and... So anyway, he very cleverly tied it to Second Amendment. It's like, you have a right to own a gun. Would he recommend that everybody own a gun? Is the right to own a gun, do you now have a duty to go out and buy an AR-15 or a Glock? Or do you have that duty? Because the right to vote and the right to bear arms are pretty much the same. You think about it from a constructive standpoint, from what they are, what they represent. The difference between a right and a duty. I don't think anybody in their right mind would suggest that everyone above the age of 18 go out and buy a gun. Well, there are a few people mistakenly believing that the right is a duty. But people who are perhaps incompetent from a medical standpoint probably shouldn't own a gun. People who are incompetent from a mental standpoint, that is, they are a little bit unreliable in terms of their cognitive processing. Those people should probably not have a gun. They should also probably should also not vote. If your perception of the world is that you believe the world is flat, or the moon landing was faked, or 9/11 was an inside job, and maybe voting doesn't really help the Republic a lot. The people who, in spite of all of the obvious evidence, believe that Barack Obama is a Muslim born in Kenya, still the problem is there isn't actually a competency. I'm having trouble. It's cold and my mouth is having trouble with some common words like competency. There isn't really a competency test for voting, because too often they have been used in the past to limit voting of undesirables, like foreigners or people of color. And perhaps there shouldn't be. Perhaps there really can't really be. It's sort of, it's your right. You can exercise it or not. But it isn't a duty. And his suggestion was that if you think... one of the interesting tests for people to say, well, yeah, so let me give you a ride to the polls. Oh, okay, who are you voting for? And then you tell them the opposite. See if they still offer you a ride to the polls. Now, here in Colorado, I think I don't need to get a ride to the polls because I'm pretty sure my ballot will be delivered to me relatively soon now. And I will be able to look at this election in terms of my participation in the rearview mirror. And so I'll be able to pack that away. The interesting question is, do I trust my Republican poll administrators to actually count my ballot? I sort of have to. In spite of all evidence to the contrary that there are people who will abuse their positions of power, I sort of have to. I mean, I could go vote in person, but I still have the same problem. I still have the same issue. If I don't trust the chain of custody, then just substituting that for a different chain of custody subject to the same potential for abuse, it doesn't do me any good. But the other thing that that Mike suggested was that if you don't feel like you can vote for either one, they're both terrible, vote for one you can vote for if you want to. If you feel you know enough, if you think you understand, if you want to exercise your civic right, not your civic duty, then yeah, vote for one that you can get behind. If that's Jill Stein, go for it. If that's whoever, do it. One thing we discovered here yesterday, in Colorado, the only valid vote for a write-in candidate is for someone who has filed papers with the appropriate elections commission here in Colorado in advance of the election. So they filed papers but didn't get on the ballot. Then you can write them in. You just can't write in any name. Mickey Mouse gets rejected for obvious reasons. Not the least of which is Mickey Mouse is unlikely to get sufficient numbers of votes to appear in the 2 or 3 million votes that will get cast in Colorado. But what he suggested is between now and the next election, which will happen in about 2 years, start reading. Read more. And he recommended a book that I had never heard of. Henry Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson. And I grabbed a PDF, which is tedious, but I'm damned if I'm going to pay $11.99 for an ebook. If I get into it and discover that I want to read it more, perhaps I will. But you can download a PDF for free, and the downside is it's a PDF. I don't have a portable PDF reader that's useful for a formatted book like this, because PDF won't flow. But The first little piece is the lesson of the broken window that demonstrates the difference between long-term and short-term economic thinking, and has to do with the economics of destruction, which we tend to see as being of a short-term benefit, even as we overlook the actual economic impact. At any rate, October 12th, 2016, 8 o'clock in the morning, It's still a crappy morning out here. But happy birthday to me. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.